Welcome back to Yahoo Finance Live this Friday, December 10th. I'm Emily McCormick here with Adam Shapiro. And let's take a look at these markets because we are on track to end the session and the week higher. The S&P 500 looking at a gain of nearly 1% on the day. The Dow up more than 200 points or about 0.6%. The NASDAQ up about 0.8% here on the day as well. And here's the closing bell on the New York Stock Exchange.
All right, so there it is. We have end of the session. And just so you know, when we take a look at where the market's going to settle, we've got the Dow up 217 points, a little bit better than half. And the S&P 500, it's almost at its intraday high set a couple weeks back. So we have regained the losses that we saw just within the last 2 weeks because of the Omicron fears and perhaps fears about Jay Powell. We're going to talk about that in a second with our panel. But the S&P 500 up almost a full percent today. The NASDAQ up 0.75%, 113 points. Let's get right to the panel. I will introduce them so that we can break this all down. Joining us are Greg Staples, DWS Group Head of Fixed Income for the Americas. Also, Joe Fahmy, Zohr Capital Managing Director. Joe, let me start with you. I mean, this is pretty, I don't want to say it's pretty remarkable, but you like to point out that the technicals, I guess you would say, and correct me if I'm wrong, they remained intact during the sell-off or the fears that we saw over the last 2 weeks. What does that say about going forward?
Yeah, and thank you for having me on. The technicals, the 50-day moving average is just sort of a basic technical area that I look at. And the reason it's important is because that's traditionally an area of institutional support. And during the pullback correction, whatever you want to call it last week, it was nice to see that the two main averages, the S&P 500 and NASDAQ composite, held those areas. So when you kind of reduce emotion and shut out some of the noise, since the big institutions control the market, it's important to note that they came in to support the market from a technical point of view at those logical support levels.
Greg, I'll toss this over to you. Why do you think the markets reacted the way they did today? Because we got that hot inflation print, CPI up by the most in nearly four decades, and yet stocks are higher, didn't really see too much of a move in treasury yields. What do you think was behind this?
Well, I think the number that we saw this morning, 6.8% on the CPI, was well anticipated. And in fact, we expect that number in January to potentially be even a little bit higher, perhaps a seven handle. I think some people were worried that today's number could have been as high as 7.1, 7.2. And the 6.8 was actually well in line with expectations. And I think there was almost a moment of relief. You saw that in the bond market. Yields could have sold off significantly, but they didn't. Yeah, in fact, you saw a bit of a mini rally.
Well, let's pick up on that little mini rally. Greg, I mean, what is that? Is there a disconnect between what we're witnessing in the bond market with the anticipation that interest rates are going to go up and may start going up sooner than people expect?
You know, we've been waiting for interest rates to go up some time. Inflation is running really, really hot. The Fed has gone from dovish to hawkish. It's pretty clear next Wednesday they're going to announce an acceleration of tapering, meaning they're going to accelerate their reduction in quantitative easing, open market purchase of bonds. But the bond market itself seems to think that inflation is going to be coming down pretty hard. 1.5% is the yield on the 10-year. The last time inflation was this high in the spring of 1982, the 10-year treasury was yielding over 10%.
Joe, what are your expectations about what market participants should be expecting about this rotation we've been seeing below the surface as we get into potentially these Fed interest rate hikes next year? Should investors be concerned if they're holding growth stocks right now?
Yeah, there's a clear unwind because as interest rates go higher, some of the higher valuation names is an inverse, it's inversely proportional. So some of the software names, cloud computing names, some of the medical products, they've been coming down. You can even see it if any basket of growth stocks like the Cathie Wood stocks, as they call it, they've been under some pressure. But it really is going to depend on, you know, to add to Greg's point, I think they've made it clear that they are going to speed up the taper and announce that in next week's meeting. I think the key will be when they talk about interest rates, if they're going to be very hawkish on that, or if they say we'll speed up the taper and then we'll wait and see on interest rates. Because if they are increasingly hawkish and talk about even speeding up interest rate hikes, that'll continue to affect some of those higher valuation and growth stock names.
But Joe, I got to follow up with you because we'll have the press conference afterward. They never say in the interest rates unless they're going to signal here comes the increase, and they wouldn't do it at this meeting. But we knew from past press conferences that they were looking at after June when they were planning the taper to end in June. Even if they speed up the taper, and even if they were, if Powell were to actually say, yeah, we're going to speed up liftoff, can't equities
still
rise? I mean,
it really depends. I mean, some people have talked about an October of 2018 scenario where Fed Chair Powell said, I'm going to raise rates three or four times over the next year. And the market clearly at that time couldn't handle it. So you make a good point. They tend to be a little bit secretive and not really be as clear as they should be during their press conferences. But if he does hint, I'm sure he's going to be asked about that. If he does hint about that, the market might not be able to handle that. Now, I'm not saying that we're going to see as big of a correction as we did in the fall of 18, but it would definitely be a headwind for stocks.
Craig, one of the factors that really has been contributing to inflation has been the depressed levels of labor force participation. What are your expectations on that front, and when do you see this starting to pick up?
It's sort of interesting. We see what's going on in the labor markets is classic supply and demand. There's a huge demand for labor, and the supply has been reluctant to come back into the marketplace. Like the intersection of those two curves, if you think back to your economics class in college, that means the prices are going to go up, the labor wages are going to go up, and we're starting to see that. Hopefully you reach an equilibrium, whether it be $15 or $16 or $17 an hour. Walmart and Amazon are the leaders in this regard. But you get the wages back up. It entices people sort of off the couch and back into the labor force. Some of them have depleted a bit of their savings over time. So I think it's going to work its way out. It's just going to take a couple of more months.